Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hello, champion. Welcome back to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. It is a beautiful day in May. I hope wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're at least doing it with passion. Can we agree that just doing something with passion is a heck of a lot better than doing even the most mundane task half-heartedly? You know, it's much better. You might want to write this one down because here comes a value bomb. Listen to this. It's much better to create than it is to maintain. Much better to create than it is to maintain. If you get into something brand new, you know, you do a project around the house or maybe a passion project, something that you really love to do. Maybe you like to garden or cook or something along those lines. I like to do both of those, but only when I'm in the mood to do both of those. And when I have a tremendous amount of passion for cooking, man, I'll get this cookbook out that we've had for, I don't even know. My wife's had it 30 years. I don't know. And I get that thing out. I'm like, rifling through the pages. Oh, vinaigrette dressing. Oh, I'll make that for the salad. Maybe make a smoothie as well. I get a tremendous amount of passion out of that stuff. And, oh, what's this pasta dish? Fish. Oh, my God, I haven't had fish in like 6 months. What can I make of it? Now, I can't do that all the time. And, by the way, the sound effects are free for today's show. But when I do, man, it's so much more fun to create than it is to maintain. What would maintaining be? What do you want for dinner? Oh, I'll make that again. Okay, pizza. Let's order pizza. We got to maintain our Friday night tradition. Let's have pizza and wings from the same place for the 100th time. Gain 100 pounds. Blah, 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 blah. When you do your work, it's much more. Man, when I was in a job, so many people think I hated my job. I did. I hated what my job took me away from, which is freedom. You know, I didn't get a chance to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. But boy, when I got to be creative, I loved my job. Whenever they had a brand new project ready, hey, let's launch this idea. Who wants to do it? I'll do it. I'll do it. Always had my hand in the air. I'll do it. And people are like, you don't even know what it is. I don't care. It's got to be different. I got to be allowed to create. I'm sure there's something different going on creating. I'm looking at all these different. I was looking at you probably heard of this. I'm late to the. Is it Zapier or Zapier? Z-A-P-I-E-R. I don't know how it's pronounced. I'm going to say Zapier. And what they do is they take all of these different apps and they zap. You can integrate Infusionsoft with GoToWebinar. You can integrate MailChimp or Gmail with whatever app that you want to integrate, your calendar. It's so simple. You don't need to pay programmers anymore. You don't need to write code anymore. It's like boom, boom. Somebody created that. Somebody had an amazing time. For me, that would give me, I'd have to take 8 bottles of Advil to even think about trying to create something like that. But that's not my passion. Somebody's making billions of dollars through Zapier. Okay. Think about Zappos. Think of shoes, you know, shipping them for free and return them, wear them, and all this stuff. I get a kick out of these great marketing commercials. I listen to a lot of XM radio when I drive my kids to the store, when I drive my kids to school, and when I go to the store. And I listen to these commercials where the mattress people, you know, whatever it is. Is it Bolin brand? Is that the mattress people or is that the sheets? I can't try it. Sleep on it for 90 days, and if you don't like it, send it back to us. I'd be curious, how many people sleep on a mattress for 3 months and say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to wrap this thing back up, get it out to the post office or UPS and get the shipping label and send this back. Or, yeah, just say, I like it. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, let people use your product. Give people an opportunity. Give them a $1 trial. Heck, give it to them for free. My biggest product launch I had, and by the way, that is creative to let people sleep on a mattress for 90 days and stand behind that mattress so much so that you'll take it back in the mail. No questions asked, full refund. You see a lot of these online marketers who give three times your money back? Think about that. I'll refund you three times what you paid if this isn't a success for you. That's crazy. But it works, because you know why? All you got to do is just get people sampling your product. Back in the day, let me give you my two stories. One is really successful, and one, depending on how low of a, what's the word I'm looking for? If you thought less of me before the show, you'll probably feel even more sorry for me after you hear this next story. But first, let me tell you the good part. My biggest product launch ever, excuse me, was a 6-CD series back in 2009. I called 6 Days to Saturday. And I mailed the CDs out, and all the customer had to do was pay shipping and handling, and they were free. So I think it was $9.95 domestically and $19.95 internationally. So if you lived in Australia, I'd send you the CDs at absolutely no charge, and you check the box that you'd want to be enrolled, try my Destination Saturday 30-day for free, you know, and you get a monthly audio CD and a booklet delivered. Maybe that gives you an idea, you know. You can have a booklet transcribed. You can send an audio physical product. People love physical products, by the way. I don't think there's enough marketers sending out physical products. But it was amazing because people tried it for 30 days and they stuck. So I had 1,000 people at $97 a month for the first month. So my quick math, that's $97,000 a month of continuity, by the way. The product was already created. I already had created all 12 months of the program. Now it's just a matter of who wants it. You know, who wants to get the 6 free CDs sent to them at no charge, except pay shipping. And then they're enrolled in the continuity. I think that was called forced continuity at the time. The laws have changed a little bit with that. You have to be very, very much upfront. And I think I was anyway back, letting them know, hey, you're going to get, your credit card is going to get hit in 30 days. Send them a reminder email. You want to know something else? Every continuity program that I have, whether it's the Everyday Saturday Body or another program where I bill people's credit cards every month, they get a reminder email a week before that their credit card is about to be billed, and they still, they don't cancel. It's, put it this way, a lot of people, you know, come out of programs. The cancellation rate is actually lower when I send that reminder email 3 weeks into a 4-week billing cycle, letting them know their credit card is going to get billed next week. It's actually lower. Think about that. Most people are going to be, I can't let anybody know their credit card is going to get billed in a week. Try that. If you're running this type of business, if you're doing any type of continuity program, send that reminder email out, because people love that. They love the authenticity of it. And look, quite honestly, people are going to cancel if they're going to cancel. And the last thing you want is a chargeback. It's the worst thing you could have for your merchant account. Don't get me started on people that charge back, because I think they're the worst of the online world. They really are. I'm not even going to get into it, because that's going to put me in a state that's negative. I want to keep it positive. But people who put chargebacks out there without even trying to contact the owner of the product and just saying, I didn't authorize it, the worst of the online world. Now, another example of trying something and then getting people to buy it. In 1990, 27 years ago, I moved from West Palm Beach to Buffalo, New York. Now, I was living on Linden Avenue in Buffalo, New York with two girls, strictly platonic. A good friend of mine from Bradford, PA, Carla Zandi, who sadly passed away of breast cancer in 2012. It's been 5 years. She was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. I don't know, it was right around 2007, maybe 2006. Fought and died on her birthday in July of 2012. I believe she would have been 45 years old. It's just a tremendously sad story. But Carla took me in, really, off the streets in Buffalo, because I didn't have a place to live. I was sleeping on some guy's couch, and a guy that I had known from another job. Anyway, I was on his couch. I'm like, yeah, this is getting old. And I could tell it's getting old. You ever have somebody stay with you? I was that guy. Like, hey, crash at my place. And you don't really think they will. And then they do. And then they crash at your place and they don't leave. Now, I wanted out of his apartment more than he wanted me out of his apartment. At least I think I did. He might have wanted me out of his apartment actually more than I wanted to be out of it. But I wanted off of his couch. It was like, we're bumping into each other in the shower and stuff, and a kitchen in the morning. Hey, you gonna eat that toast? You know, I want it out. So Carla took me in, and she had another roommate, female Laura, it was there. So it was me and two girls, kind of like Three's Company. And I had no income, and I had really no way of generating income, because I'd quit my job, moved back to Buffalo. I just wanted to be back to the Northeast area. So a buddy of mine started selling, and this is my first indoctrination into multi-level marketing. Have you ever heard of NSA water filters? Do you remember those? Where they would filter your entire house. You could buy like the big, huge thing that fits literally your incoming water line. Or you can sell the little filters that hook up to your faucet in the kitchen, and it filters your water. And that was my first. I had never heard of, never even thought about. Nobody ever exposed me to network marketing. I was 22 years old at the time, and multi-level marketing. And this was it. And they're like, hey, you recruit two people, and they sell 10 of these things. And then those 10 people recruit two people. Can you see? And I remember going to, they showed the plan at a hotel in Williamsville, New York, back in 1990. This was probably around March, April time frame. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, I'm a millionaire. Oh, my God. I can't get it. Water. Oh, I gotta tell everybody I know about this. And I was that guy. I was that guy who heard about MLM for the first time. You know that guy, right? That guy, that girl, when you hear about multi-level marketing for the first time, and you start putting the numbers together and the circles on the napkins, and you're drawing them, and you're drawing them, and you're drawing them. This goes on to infinity. It never ends. I'm going to be a billionaire at the age of 22. Holy cow. I got to order my first Gulfstream jet tomorrow. I got to put it on layaway. And then, sadly, what happens to most people is default. It happened to me. So I bought 6 water filters. I don't even know where I got the money. I was living with Carla and Laura at the time in North Buffalo. And we lived above Erna was her name. Great lady. She was probably 70 in her mid-70s. Now, Erna was half blind, a widow, and I didn't know this as well. Had no sense of taste, had no taste buds. I don't know if she lost them, just never had them, doesn't matter. But anyway, I was late on the rent in May of 1990, which wasn't shocking because I had no money. So it would have been more shocking had I not been late on the rent. So I said, how am I going to pay my rent? Our rent's $400 a month, split three ways, $133. And so I thought, oh, I got these water filters. I'll sell one to Erna. I think they were like $150, $200, something like that. And I went down to do the demonstration to Erna. I think, honestly, I look back on it now, I'm so embarrassed. I think she just felt bad for me. I really do. I just think she's... This was my foray into entrepreneurship. I owned my own product. I called my mom. I said, hey, I quit my job as a stockbroker. She goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to sell water. I said, I opened up my own business. She's like, what are you talking about? My mom was, really cut to the chase. Just didn't want any time for BS. She's like, what are you talking about? Open your own business. You're 22, you moron. You got no money. You don't even have a car, really. You're living with two women paying $100 a month. What do you mean you started your own business? I go, I'm selling water filters. Oh, you're selling water. Oh, yeah, mom. And you ever tried to explain the plan over the phone to a 60-something-year-old pessimist? Okay, who happens to be your mother? Yeah, mom. So the way it works is I demonstrate, better yet, I can see, well, there's two ways to, make money. You can either, be a product distributor, or what's a product distributor? Well, see, I buy wholesale from my upline. What's an upline? Well, his name's Bill, and he showed the plan. What's a plan? At a hotel. Yeah, you see where it's going? Right. So I said, I can pay my rent. I just sell a water filter to Erna. So I go down. Hey, Erna, how you doing? Oh, hey, Sam. Hey, listen, you got a minute? Yeah. I knew Erna had nothing but minutes because she had really nothing going on. Retired, hanging out, watching TV. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a weekday. Everybody else is at work, including my roommates, Erna and me. So I popped the VHS tape into her VCR. I said, Erna, can I use your VCR? Yeah. She goes, what is this all about? I go, hey, I want to show you something really exciting. Because the key was not to tell them what it is that you're doing. Just kind of go with it, man. And just kind of keep the suspense low. I'm like, she goes, okay, yeah, sure. My VHS, there it is. So it's blinking like 12 o'clock, 1,000 times. So I put this VHS tape that talks about water. And it starts with running streams and lakes and getting back to the old days where water was really pure. And how do we get... Now our water is all, got chlorine and uranium and iron and metal and wood and brick and everything like that in it, and we drink it and we die. And that was kind of the, Reader's Digest version of the presentation. So Erna's like, wow, Sam, how do I get my water to be like that? I'm like, oh, Erna, holy cow, this is just like in the training. How do I do it? I go, can we take a walk over to your kitchen faucet? Yeah, sure. So Erna and I walk over to the kitchen. And I got my Allen wrench with me, and I start taking apart her faucet, which is really unusual to be doing. But anyway, I had to do it because I had to hook up the water filter. And I did it wrong, but did it well enough to where my little drops, when I put them in her water, I filled a glass of her water. And I said, Erna, now I'm going to fill a glass of the tap or the NSA water. And I hit the switch that filters it. The water comes out. And I put the droplets. I go, this is your water. Ooh, it's yellow. It's green. It's purple. Oh, my God. It's horrible, Erna. And I go, this is the NSA water. Same drops. Nothing. Take a drink of this water, Erna. She's like, wow. I go, can you taste the difference? She goes, no, I don't have any sense of taste. I'm like, oh, wow. I got to pay my rent. I go, well, Erna, if you did have a sense of taste, wouldn't you agree that this tastes better? I think that was my close. If you did, imagine for a minute, Erna, that you actually had a sense of taste. Would this not taste amazing? Sure. I don't even think she realized that was an actual question. Or I think, she wanted to say, Sam, just get to the point. Are you late? You need rent money. I go, she goes, how much is your contraption? I go, it's $159.99 and it's yours. Well, she goes, all right, I'll buy it. I said, really? She said, yeah, you convinced me. Great. I'll tell you what, you can have this and we'll just call it even on May's rent. She said, okay, that works for me, Sam. And she goes, hey, are you going to, can you take this filter off my faucet? Well, Erna, she goes, yeah, I don't need it. Okay, put my head down. I just kind of walked out. She goes, you can just leave it there. I'll give it to my son or something. Like, okay, well, that was kind of, you know, good news, rent was paid. Bad news, I'm a schmo. But all of that, I tell you all of that and the $97 a month continuity story because they were both the same. It was creating. It was fun. I felt a little embarrassed about Erna buying it just out of pity. Not too embarrassed not to accept it, but I remember when I first discovered that, like, you could be an entrepreneur. You could buy something at wholesale, and you could sell it at retail. And it kind of occurred to me later on in my life, 15 years later when I was in the corporate world, that that's what was being done to me as a person. I was being bought. My talents were being bought wholesale. And they were being retailed out to the sales community in the form of all of my hard efforts. Like, I didn't get paid any more whether I worked 80 hours a week or whether I worked 40 hours a week. I really made about the same amount of money. Now, I could have made a bigger bonus. I was on salary plus commission and bonus as a sales rep, and I was on salary and bonus as a manager running a $90 million organization. So there wasn't any more reward if I were to put in, you know, so many more hours. And you know what that's called? That's called maintaining. I was just maintaining. Hey, I got to maintain this 100 grand salary, got to maintain the bonus, got to maintain the car, got to maintain the house, got to maintain this lifestyle, got to maintain buying things I can't afford with money I don't have to impress people that I don't even like. I got to maintain all that. I want to create. Now, I'm not an artist. I mean, I'm not, you know, somebody that can draw anything graphically. I can't carry a tune, can't sing, can't dance, anything like that. But I'm creative in my own space. Like, this podcast is an opportunity for me to create. By the way, did you respond to that offer last week? I mean, I've had so many people. I'm wondering if you did. And I'm booking one-on-one personalized podcast coaching sessions. Okay? Send me an email, sam@everydayissaturday.com. I will do this. I will take away all of the technical stuff. Okay? You don't have to worry about anything. I just want to coach you on how to create an amazing podcast, get hundreds and thousands of downloads, explode your brand and your message, get prospects bucket by the bucketfuls and leads and sales and all of the things that I do with my show. I'm going to give you one-on-one coaching for that. And I'm curious if you even responded last week. Or did you think, A, well, it's priced too high. B, I don't really know what it's about exactly. C, Sam's not going to reply. Let me tell you something. Everybody that sent me an email with the subject line podcast offer in there for the one-on-one coaching, I replied to pretty much right away because I get emails on my phone. And if it's something like that, I've got it queued to come right into my phone. Zapier, whatever it is, connecting all my email. Yay, notification. Send me an email. Let me teach you how to create a show just like this with something that you love to do, something that you love to create. Don't worry about the technical stuff. I'm going to put it all together for you. I'm going to connect everything. Next week, your show is going to be on iTunes. I don't know if that makes you excited or scared or what, but that would excite the crap out of me if somebody who's been doing this for 12 years, has over 10 million downloads, actually is going to show me how to do it. But with that whole MLM experience, came an opportunity to be creative, and I never lost that. Now, I failed miserably in it. All the water filters sat in a box, the ones that nobody else bought. I bought six of them, and five of them were in the box. Erna got the one for the rent in May. And that didn't put – you would think, geez, that really must have squashed your dream to be an entrepreneur. No, it didn't. The seed was planted. The seed didn't sprout in 1990, but it popped its head back up a few years later. I tried another deal, MLM. Didn't work, but it's not that the MLM didn't work. I didn't work. I just kind of got excited, bought it, bought into it, and never did anything with it. Recruited a couple of people, and then I went back to my job. But I always had my safety net was my job. When I finally quit my job and I had no safety net, that's when the real genius kicked in. That's when the real creative juices flew. That's when all this podcasting took off because, and the speaking gigs, I didn't have anything left. I had no safety net. I had to succeed. When you have to succeed, it's a completely different mindset than saying, oh, I got my 401k. Oh, I got my retirement. I got my savings. I got my job. I can always go back to the. If you're thinking about your plan B, then your plan A is toast, man. It just is. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a secondary or alternative plan. As entrepreneurs, you're always going to get hit with, well, I went in that fork of the road. I went left, and that was closed. I got to go right. That's fine. But if your whole plan changes, your destination changes, and you keep changing destinations, then you're never going to be successful when you're creative. Because you got to go with what your gut, what you really want to do, what your passion, what your spiritual gift is, what you really believe it is that you bring. And you can't ask broke people for advice. You can't ask people who have never succeeded. You can't ask people who've never done what it is you want to do for advice. You got to go to people that have failed, that have been bankrupt, that have been laughed at, ridiculed, mocked, and made fun of, that have stumbled, that have lost their house. I mean, I've been evicted from apartments. I've had my electricity shut off. I've had everything done, and I'm not even saying the victim role. It sounds so victimized to say I've had this happen. I'm just letting you know, man, it always gets better. Look at our journey with my daughter, you know, getting rushed to Children's Hospital a couple of weeks ago. You realize that's been 2 weeks now since that happened almost? It's better. She's sleeping through the night. Everything's great. It always gets better. It always gets better because you never give up. The only time it gets worse is when you just throw in the towel and say, yeah, it's not for me. This business thing isn't really for me. Crowley's just yelling around, motivating, screaming into a microphone. He doesn't really know what the hell's going on. I do. I'm here to tell you that it always gets better when you stay in the game. It might get a little worse before it gets better, but it always gets better. Will you commit to yourself to be creative? Will you commit to yourself to allow that dream to flourish? Will you go back and water that seed and nurture that seed of creativity that was planted inside of you? Maybe it got planted through this podcast 5 years ago, and now you're listening to it again saying, wow, that's awesome. I'm starting to see. You don't need to have – see, here's the thing. You don't even need to have all the answers. Matter of fact, I don't want to, again, rain on your parade. You don't get all the answers, okay? This isn't like Jeopardy where you get the answer. You got to ask the question. This is, you're going to get a boatload of questions. You're going to get thrown into the fire. You're going to get people testing you. You're going to get family and friends laughing at you. You're going to get your bank account overdraft and all that stuff. But you get to be what most people don't, and you get to be creative. You get to be who you really were before the world told you who to be. And that's the most fun. I don't think you can put a price on that. As a matter of fact, I know you can't. I've tried. I've tried to buy my way into success. I've made millions of dollars, millions. Flushed it all away because I hated who I had to become to make that money, you know, back in the corporate world. Think about it. If you make $100,000 a year for 10 years, you've made $1 million. I was in a corporate gig for 15 years. My very first speaking gig that I got paid right before the $25,000 keynote in Hawaii, that all you guys know that story, I got paid, I think, $300, $500, something like that, to speak at the Kenwood Country Club. $500. It was the most amazing experience of my life, being able to speak to a group of people who were there to hear a message of inspiration, motivation. Both of us heard that message for the very first time because I'd never given a speech before in my life. I was as nervous as a kitty in a lightning storm, and I made it through, and I was like, damn, is that what it feels like to get paid to do what you love to do and to get $500 to speak when I would have done it for $5 and I get to be creative? I got to create the speech. I'm giving a commencement address at my high school, graduated 31 years ago, Bradford High, next week, next Thursday. Me, the ex-stuttering college dropout. Everybody cast aside, man. The guy's just a loser. is going to be delivering the commencement address at Bradford High next week. How awesome is that? Are you kidding me? That's the biggest honor I've ever had in my entire life. I get to go back to my hometown and speak to a graduating class of, what, 300 people or so? Amazing, man. And it can happen for you, too, if you allow yourself to be creative. Don't maintain, man. Don't maintain. Be creative. That's where the real magic is. All right. Wow. That was a long one, but I'm fired up. You coming to my live event? It's only a couple weeks away. SamCrowley.live. Want to see you in Cincinnati, June 9th and 10th. VIP tickets still available. SamCrowley.live. Also, take advantage of the podcasting offer. Send me an email, podcasting offer. I'm interested in the subject line. Send it to sam@everydayisaturday.com. If I'm walking around the mall with my kids or I'm at Kroger shopping, whatever it is, I'll stop, reply, give you all the details, and I will coach you one-on-one. No joke, one-on-one, you and I live together. All right? Sam Crowley, have the best day ever!
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.